Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's Managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta can make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with three Stay Green 1 cubic foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Hello and welcome to Bend the Knee, a Song of Ice and Fire podcast. I am Sir Matt.
And I am Sir Jimmy of House Nuts. Welcome back to our Song of Ice and Fire book club. Today we are talking about some news. A little bit of Duncan Egg, a little George mishap that
pretty
happened.
Pretty unfortunate news.
Yeah, not ideal.
Should we start with the bad or should we start with the good?
Well, I think first we should update everyone. How's your blood pressure? Is it good?
It's good.
That's the ongoing saga.
It was good, man. It was good. Actually, okay. Today it was like 129 over 86. So it's the first time that my top number has been below 130 in quite some time. Yesterday, actually, my lower number was below 80. So that was pretty good. I think it's trending in the right direction, man. We are trending. It's the sodium. I'm working hardcore and cutting it out, losing some more weight.
I saw you snorting salt when we recorded once, and I said, I don't think that's a good idea, Matt.
Ah, yeah.
Just a whole line. I was like, huh. Yeah.
No, dude, it's doing good. How are you, man? You're kind of enjoying some time off here, and then you're starting.
Yeah, I start my new job. My new old job.
Yeah.
Yeah, next week, and I've had a couple weeks off here, and I got to tell you, Matt, being pseudo-unemployed is pretty sick.
Yeah.
Pretty sick, dude.
I know, it's great.
Golfing 18 holes every day, sometimes 27 holes. And I got a gnarly tan. My feet hurt from walk. I've walked 40,000 steps the last 2 days.
That's good, man. That's what I need to do.
Bro, I'm down. I'm down weight, man.
I have an exercise. That's good. I have an exercise bike. I just
been hitting the cycle.
Oh, I cycle every day now. I'm doing like at least an hour a day.
What do you do when you're on the bike? You listen to music or what?
It's here actually. I can raise my desk and then I slide it in here. So sometimes I'll game, or it's kind of hard to kind of type and do some work on like the bike, mm-hmm. to do that. But yeah, sometimes I'll watch stuff, or mostly gaming. I've been playing Cyberpunk.
But, oh, nice! I actually reinstalled it and been playing it as well. I read Neuromancer, which is what it's largely based off of, William Gibson's novel, and I was kind of in the mood, and I booted it up again. It's a good game.
Real quick, I thought about this yesterday, and I thought this would actually be a good little segment here before we get into the news, which is Georgia Worldcon, and some dude is a total douchebag, essentially. And good Duncan Egg news, by the way. We have that as well. So actually, they announced Gamescom is going on right now, which is one of the bigger game conventions, and they show off all the new games, and they showed off they're making a new Lego Batman game, right? Yeah. Warner Brothers, I believe, is the company that makes all the Lego games. Actually kind of got me thinking, Lego Game of Thrones.
Nah, it's too adult.
You think so? I don't know. Yeah. I think they could do it.
I think they have a really strict guideline, because it's marketed towards kids still,
I guess.
How about this? I'll give you a branch. If it was ever going to happen, it would be with Duncan Egg.
Duncan Egg.
Mm-hmm. Like, you can't have like Lego Ed Stark's head detachable.
I mean, when it goes off. I mean, they got like Lego Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings is very family. Tolkien was a softy, you know.
Well, I don't know. Maybe you can still.
I mean, mature, don't get me wrong. I would play it.
I think it'd be funny because they have, like, you know, they show the people's heads getting cut off, the Legos pop. You know, just see like a Lego Ned Stark, oh, and then his head goes. Like,
so there was a company that did like
Lego, adult Lego Legos. Theon, and just.
Oh.
that's why they can't do it.
that's now you're seeing my point. You're seeing where this goes.
They can't do it.
So there was an adult Lego company, and it's not Lego, it's some offshoot. It's like Mega Connects or something like that. And they actually had Game of Thrones stuff. I have one of them. Really fun to put together. After season 8, they were going to release this huge one, and it was going to be the wall. And it was going to be like the bat, like basically when Ygritte dies, right? And I was, I was waiting for it. It was like I think it was like 5,000 pieces or something. I was like, dude, I'm going to buy this. It's going to be sick. And you know, Matt, after season 8, they canceled it because the demand for it plummeted because people were so upset about season 8. And I was so distraught, dude. Like, I had it pre-ordered. Like, I was ready to go. I love Legos. I love putting things together. And I wish there were more stuff like that for Game of Thrones. But we do have puzzles, which is kind of nice. I remember I was putting together they call it like a 3D map, but it's basically just has like raised pieces on it, like castles. And I listened to Night of the Seven Kingdom for like the 80th time while I put it together. It was very nice, very relaxing.
Well, that sounds
during cool. COVID. So
I would have more Lego stuff, but now I have a baby, and at some point she's going to get into that stuff and it's all going to break, and you know,
and you're going to step on it and it's going to hurt.
Yeah.
And you're going to be the yelling dad.
Yeah, I can't.
You were getting a little mad at your headset when we were right before we got recorded. I saw,
well, dude, I don't know. I understand.
I saw it wasn't dad rage in you there.
It wasn't connecting. I don't know what's going on, but
the hands went up. I said, "Oh, there it is."
Jiminy. Well, all right. Let's get into the news. So let's start with the negative news, since you're already cranking my blood pressure here. WorldCon. So at WorldCon, there's a panel going on, and they have all these authors up there.
Ryan Cahill, Brandon Sanderson, Robin Hobb. I mean, it was a very good panel. I knew people who actually were on panels at WorldCon, and I knew some people that were there in the room.
Yeah, and somebody goes up and asks George a question, and basically like, well, since you're gonna die anytime soon, can't like Brandon Sanderson just finish your books?
Yeah, basically insulted George and then aimed the question at Brandon Sanderson, which folks, we should know better than this. First, and I'm actually gonna ignore the obvious part here. We got to quit pretending like Brandon Sanderson's finishing this series. It's such a stupid take. And I'm sorry to be so mean, but like, it's a brain dead thing to say because you've done no thought process went behind it. It clearly doesn't make any sense. Brandon Sanderson has his own thing going on. He's a millionaire in his own right. And they're not that close. They have respect for one another, but they're not that close. And honestly, I can't believe there's still people thinking like, yeah, Brandon, like, We know he's never going to finish it. Like, Brandon Sanderson's not the guy. Okay, he's just not the guy. It drives me crazy.
Right. Like we actually talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and it was more so because I was thinking about like Wheel of Time, and you know, he did step in and finish the series for Robert Jordan.
Yeah.
But it was when we talked about it just a few weeks ago, it was under the guise of like, well, would George's legacy be ruined if somebody finished it? You know, if you were to die like in like 10 years or 15 years or something, and would his legacy be ruined if someone finished it? And ultimately we said no, we didn't feel like it would be, because in the same regards, like,
because we're adjusted adults, that's why.
Exactly. And also it's like when we look at Wheel of Time, we don't necessarily look at it as his legacy is ruined. No, it's a totally different thing to go up to George Martin and ask him out of nowhere, like, well, basically, since you suck and you're going to die, can't you just have like Brandon Sanderson finish this?
Yeah.
And that's a totally different like way to pose and phrase that question that is not respectful. And like, it's a total douchebag move.
Hey, and shout out to the panel, because like, for instance, self-pub author Ryan Cahill was on there, and Sanderson, and basically Brandon Sanderson said no, and then they all just got up and left. Like, they're like, we're not dealing with this, and they walked off, which I guess it was towards the end of the panel. So here's a little tidbit about this, and I'm sure some people probably have seen this, but it was a lady, and this lady is actually someone who has been stalking George. It wasn't a random fan. This is a lady who has kind of been a pain. Like, she is someone George's PR team knows because she's a problem, and she's been a problem for a long time. So that is kind of what happened. And some person didn't screen, because they should be screening these people.
Right.
And she got through the cracks, and she got her 15 minutes of fame, and she uploaded, and this is the sad part, she actually uploaded the video to her YouTube channel. I believe it's her YouTube channel, and people were sharing it around. So it was actually benefiting her.
Oh,
yeah. Just an absolute bottom of the barrel person. Maybe they're going through something. I'll try to be a little empathetic here, but a scumbag thing.
You don't deserve any. I don't care what you're. That's just, you just don't do that.
I'm
that's just
paying for a ticket to do that.
Yeah, that's just wrong. I mean, that is just point blank wrong.
And there's, we know that especially people who listen to the show, like, we know you all and us, we're not the people who do this. Like, there are plenty of people who are rooting for George. I don't know if you saw this, Matt, but the Pure Song of Ice and Fire subreddit actually, like, compiled a book or something and sent it to George, and they had a video of him, or maybe they had evidence of him opening it, like, appreciative, basically, like, thanking him, like, notes from fans. And I thought that was amazing. So there's some good there, but you have to imagine when George goes online or does anything, goes anywhere, like, this is what happens to him more times than we'd like to think. And why would that motivate him to write those books?
Yeah. I mean,
like, it won't. Because that person's going to read the book. Like I'm going to do the work to give you, you know what I mean? It's kind of like, you know, the contrarian me would be like, well, I'm not writing it then. I would turn off. I'd be so disenfranchised with the whole thing. You know, I saw a lot of pictures of my friends that were at Worldcon that took pictures with George. And Matt, I got to tell you, he didn't smile on a single one of them. And it kind of broke my heart a little bit.
Yeah, because he had to deal with this crazy fan, and that probably, you know, ruined the whole weekend. Like, yeah, you're going to die, George. I mean, what a stupid, ridiculous thing to say to somebody.
Yeah, it's just a level of entitlement. I can't relate. I can't relate to that person at all. And it's pretty gross. It's pretty disgusting.
Yeah. Oh, just, that's just, it's ridiculous. I'm trying to find the person. I'm trying to find the person so we can just go, like, troll her.
We are not encouraging anyone to troll.
I am. That's ridiculous. You deserve it. I mean, if you're gonna go and you publicly troll somebody, then you deserve to get it back.
That's like, no, I will weaponize my fan base.
Absolutely. 100%.
Oh, Matt. You know what I love about you, Matt, is if I ever needed someone to back me up, I know you'd be 100%. Coming out swinging it, bro.
Yeah.
You'd be coming out swinging.
No questions asked.
I could be dead wrong. And he would be like, no.
Yeah, nope. 100%. Well,
folks, yeah, Matt's a good guy to have on your side.
That's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the whole deal is just unfortunate. Hey, let him cook. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. I hope that the Dunkin' Egg show gets some traction. I hope it's positive for him. And even if it, like we've talked about, you know, even if it's just him getting a Dunkin' Egg novella out to say, hey, I did something, like, I would hope most people would forgive him for not doing wins, you know, like getting a novella out for Dunkin' Egg. Like, I think people would be okay with that.
Yeah.
The real fans would, because we all love Dunkin' Egg. So I don't know, dude. At this point, it's not even about the books. It's about the human being behind the books. And, you know, George has lost a lot of friends over the last few years. Like, he's thinking about mortality. We read his blog. We see it all the time. And he suffers from depression and stuff. And I just, I'd rather just the person George R. R. Martin be okay. The author stuff second.
Yeah, I agree. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Dunkin' Egg show, because we kind of talked about this just a little bit, you know, last time we recorded. And now we have some more news that not only is the season 2 and 3 greenlit, but it is filming back to back, which does raise a big question. Some of the stuff we went to a deeper dive about this on our Patreon episode we just did, but we can talk about it a little bit again here, Jimmy, is the fact that they're filming seasons 2 and 3 back to back. One,
if phenomenal.
What does that say about what's going on with season two and three and how much more connected it's going to be, what we think will come of it? And what does that mean about like three and four? If we get a season four or five?
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly a good question. I mean, maybe they are hoping that if they get all this done, they'll have more time to work out what four and five can be, right? Like, to get the bulk of this done. And then they have plenty of time to kind of receive feedback from viewership, maybe work with George a little bit, possibly, to get some stories, or at least some story beats that he wanted to do. I have a feeling, though, and this is just me speculating. I don't know how Hollywood really works. I don't know if many people do. I think because this show is so much cheaper, one, shorter, and less demanding of a massive, you know, costume. I'm sure costuming is going to be huge, but like, there's a lot less people, I assume, involved in this one. I wonder, Matt, if they just look at it and said, well, for how much money we can do in a year, like, we could just get these both out of the way and fly these people to different locations, and it would still be less of a hassle than House of the Dragon having multiple sets, which we know that that is a challenge, considering the fact that Corlys sat in a Navy Yard that they probably shot all in one in one week. And that's always because of logistics and stuff, right? They got to move these teams around, the costume and the lighting, everything. So I imagine just it being a shorter show by nature is actually kind of working in its benefit to have a quicker turnaround time. I love this, Matt. I mean, we could just have consistent year, once a year, get back on that. We're very right, happy.
Because people talk about, well, they need to be an hour each and all this stuff. No. And it's like, we talked about that. There's not enough material for you you're basically adding, you'd be all this filler. Cause that'd be the complaint. Filler.
They didn't follow the books, Matt.
They didn't follow the books. They added all this. You're never going to please everybody. So I'm all for it. Two, I think that it means we're going to see Duncan Egg back to back years, which means we actually will also get probably Duncan Egg with House of the Dragon in one year, in one same year, that you can space it out. It buys House of the Dragon a little bit of time to have it spaced out, with a bigger set piece and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's a shorter thing, the fact that you know that, like the next season is coming, like not like 2-3 years down the line, or like 4 years in some cases. I mean, some of these shows, it's crazy. The fact that you know that you're getting it pretty consistently, I think, helps benefit that shorter time. It's like The Bit. It's like, man, I'm seeing now they're already showing like set photos and cast photos. And it's like, whoa, do you feel like we just watched that? You know, so it's great. Like, it's cool that that's taking place.
Which is how Game of Thrones was, by the way.
It was, which is for why there would never be anything like Game of Thrones again.
No, it was the GOAT.
Not for a long time, until, you know, they can, it's all AI anyway. And then, then they can just do half the work with AI, and then you can record every day if you want. I don't know. But thematically and like plot wise, I think this creates a lot of interesting opportunities.
Bridging storylines, possibly.
Right. Because because we already know, when you look at some of the cast that's in Duncan Egg season one, there were some characters that had some interesting names, like Lady Rowan, right? Like, that was one. And we're like, well, she's actually doesn't even show up until the second one. So I think that by the story actually works out really well for them to be able to create threads in Duncan Egg that weren't there, and just tease little things like, Lady Rowan Weber could be at this tourney, the first tourney at Ashford Meadows.
Yes.
And some of the people we see at White Walls, like Thunderball, you know, some of these other people could be there. And so that would be kind of a cool way to do it. My guess is we will see Bloodraven a lot.
We very well might.
And I think this lets them, I think Blackfyre Rebellion stuff is actually going to be like lore dumps and stuff like that. I think it's good. I think now that they're doing it back to back, I think we are going to see more Blackfyre stuff, because the third one is very, it is technically the second Blackfyre Rebellion.
Yeah.
But we know the first one, we learn about what happened in the first one and why people chose the sides they did, and that it lets you expand that out, because we all know that is probably going to be the successor to House of the Dragon. We know we're getting Aegon's Conquest, but after House of the Dragon, the next kind of mega story is that first Blackfyre Rebellion, and we know we will probably get that at some point. So it kind of, in a way, we're beginning to tease it, right? We saw Bloodraven. Bloodraven is in Game of Thrones. Bloodraven was in House of the Dragon now. We saw the tease of him staring back, or Daemon staring forward, whatever. He saw that connection. And now you can bring him in. I think you could. They might even have him in all three seasons.
Yeah, there's definitely a chance. And I think that this is a, like, they should do this. There should be threads between seasons. Like, I know it's episodic seasons, and they could do it and get away with it. But the way I think the hook people is, you always want them having a question, not a cliffhanger necessarily, but just a couple questions at the end of a season. Cliffhangers are fine by me. I know some people despise them. They're a lot worse when you have to wait 2 or 3 years between seasons, by the way. If it's every year, people don't care as much, I don't think. But having some through lines between these seasons and weaving them together, I think, is how you take this from a show that I think could do reasonably well to a show that ends up being one that is captivating and really starts to capture a bigger audience. And I will tell you this, Matt, I actually agree with you. I think Bloodraven is going to be a pretty big stay of this show. And I would argue that if you look at the entirety of Dunkin' Egg, you could frame it in a way where Bloodraven is the antagonist. That's
finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 9/1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Kind of like, you don't know his motives. Think of a serious Snape, right? Kind of thing.
That's kind of anti-hero, but maybe, like, a little,
what's
more
his real motivations? He's kind of fantastical. We don't know if he's working for our boys, Dunkin' Egg. We can't tell he's work. Like, what is his real motives? We also know him from these other shows that we've watched in the Westeros universe. So I do think Bloodraven has a good chance of being a pretty prominent role, even in where he isn't in the novellas. And Matt, there's just not a lot of fantastical stuff going on in Dunkin' Egg. And I do think they will want to sprinkle in the fantastical. And how do you do that? You do it with Bloodraven.
Yeah.
There's no dragons. So
yeah. And then who knows? We may get a Bloodraven show, because I would totally watch a Bloodraven at the Wall show, because I would love to learn the story of why he goes to the cave, whether he's called there or he decides to seek it out. I mean, that's one of the biggest mysteries still in A Song of Ice and Fire that we're gonna get a lot of stuff. Matt, I've been doing a lot of diving recently, by the way, and I posted a couple TikToks and shorts about
this. I thought you meant in a pool. I do, but
I've been doing a lot of diving into Bloodraven again, as well as like Craster and things about the North and the Wall. And I posted a couple shorts on it. And we can dive into a little bit of theory territory here, Jimmy, if you're down.
I'm down. Can I make one final point about Bloodraven?
Yes. Yes. Go ahead.
You said there could be a Bloodraven show. I think this might be the Blood Raven show. You see what I'm saying? Because in the books, you don't get his POV. You might get scenes of just Blood Raven.
If it goes seven seasons, if it goes seven seasons and we get like it ends with Summerhall, that would be such a huge way to end with like Rhaegar. And we know that the prophecy of Song of Ice and Fire is being brought up in House of the Dragon. Like that would, like, that's a huge part of that show, is that it was brought up. And like, I loved how they wove that in to be like the thing that is actually causing this. And we've talked about like that's part of the whole reason Summerhall happens and everything. Bro. So
all right,
it dives in.
Follow me here. Okay. Before you go into the thing.
Well, my theories tie into all of it. So,
well, we might be on the same track, but I'm just thinking seven seasons. Let's just pretend every Emmy ever won, whatever. The last like scenes of Duncan Egg's TV show is Summerhall burning down, right? And a little bit of a Jenny song perhaps playing, and you get Rhaegar, right? Getting burnt, whatever. And then the final scene, and this is going to tie into my Cold Hands theory, which everyone hates, but the last scene is like Dunk burnt meeting Blood Raven above the wall.
Could be.
And he looks like Cold Hands, right? Like I'm going far down the rabbit.
Well, so I actually posted. So I posted a couple of TikToks, and I've been exploring more of this, the Cold Hands thing as well, and Blood Raven. So I'm going to hit you with two here. So one, I talked about the idea of Craster, because we talked about this like a year or two ago, about the idea of Mance Rayder and Mance Rayder and Craster being brothers.
Oh yeah,
because they both have the same parent, like the same type of parents. It's their father is an unknown member of the Night's Watch, and their mother is a wildling, right? So that's all we know, is they both have the same type of parent set. So I was like, oh, it could be interesting if they were brothers. Well, then I was starting to think about Craster a little bit more, and Craster's a little bit older than Mance, it seems, in the books. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the show, I think, ages Mance a little bit more. But the books, Mance seems like he might be a little bit younger but Craster is still, to me, God, just such an interesting, unique character, because he is offering his children to the others. And in there, if you go back and you read some of the Craster chapters, when he talks about why he does it, he says things like, well, like, I'm right with the gods. You best get right with the gods too. He also talks about, he's like, I'm not worried because my roots are sunk deep. And so like, thinking about roots and trees and the weirwood. And why is he saying that? And if Craster, hold on, hear me out. If Craster is Blood Raven's son, because, well, just, I mean, some Night's Watch member is Craster's dad. And his mother is a wildling, and the timing works out because he is older, and it would work timeline wise. If that is the case, then Craster, in theory, would have blood of ice and fire, because he is Targaryen through Blood Raven, who, by the way, is also like of ice and fire, because his mom is a Blackwood, you know. But Craster would be as well. And somehow Craster began giving his boy children up to the others. And he continues to do it and knows what happens. Like, somehow that started. We've talked a lot about the three-eyed crow, three-eyed raven being evil. The three-eyed crow raven that is using Blood Raven perhaps as a vessel. I also posted another one talking about the idea that, this will go against the Dunk theory that I am more sort of in, but it talks about the idea. I've talked about the idea of Cold Hands himself being the three-eyed crow. Is that the three-eyed crow we know uses people as entities and things like that. And the three, and because we know it's most likely not Benjen in the books because of the editor's note and all of the things. And George has pretty much come out and said it, that, you know, if that is the case and Cold Hands is just some older figure, even older than, say, Duncan the Tall, then what's to say he's not the current vessel And what's to say Damon wasn't at some point? And what's to say that, you know, Bloodraven is now and Bran is going to be, and that the Red Crow is using these people. So that's kind of where my headspace is at right now and trying to explore some of this stuff. But be pretty interesting, because clearly at some point Craster decides to just start giving his children to the others.
Right, right. There's some weird sorcery going on there, possibly, right, Matt?
Yeah. I mean, something like, it's not like you just suddenly wake up and you're like, you know what? Let me just see if the others will just take this as a sacrifice.
So I'm going to go a little different direction here.
Okay.
So someone that was up there doing some weird stuff and had a corpse queen was the Night's King, Brandon Stark. Yeah. And who was the person who finally brought him down after 13 years? It was none other than the king beyond the wall, Joramon.
Yeah.
So could it be that Mance Rayder is a descendant of Joramon?
That could work
and
too.
And Craster could be a descendant of the Night's King.
That could be.
And it would be, you know, George loves
right.
repeating
because they hate each other.
That's what I'm saying. So, yeah.
Well, could Craster really hates, Craster really hates Mance more. It seems
that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that Mance represents Joramon. Craster could be the Night's King, right?
I don't know that does Mance Rayder ever says anything about Craster, to be entirely honest.
Well, he doesn't, but I guess what I'm
or
just
if he does,
saying
it's like
is
a one off line, yeah.
And
I'm with you. I'm just saying in general, just for clarification.
I'm only going with this because I think George loves mirroring, and he also loves repeating history. And it's just interesting that a dude up at the wall who's doing weird shit is, you know, just happens to hate the king beyond the wall would be Mance Rayder. Like, I don't actually think this is the case, but it's kind of interesting to think about.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a big deal because they do the baby swap. Right. And I mean, I think that has it. Oh, Jamie just clicked onto something, but I think that is a big, go ahead and say it. Cause now your mouth is like wide open.
After the Night's King fall, it was discovered the Night's King had been making sacrifices to the others.
Yeah.
So just
I know,
like,
man,
just like Craster.
Yeah, I know, dude.
It's oh, I'm right. Saying. Never mind. I'm right. It's he's a descendant. Oh my God.
So what if the Night's King was a green seer who was the Three-Eyed Crow was trying to use to help bring down the wall?
Well, his name is Brandon Stark, so we all set to wonder if is it Bran?
Exactly.
Holy shit. The series is so sick.
Because that I love this like series because, so right, much. Because the Three-Eyed Crow, like being Bran or whatever, like Bran may become the Three-Eyed Crow, and I think that is still going to happen, but I think I am still leaning more towards the idea of like the Three-Eyed Crow being the true dark entity. Mm. Because part of Bran's story is him struggling with warging into summer. Right.
Yeah.
And oh, you can't give yourself over to the beast. Like you can't do like you still need to remain yourself, which is a little interesting because that could just be that Jojen, who actually, if you look at it, is not really doing things in Bran's best interest. Sometimes it seems because
we wonder
because because Jojen might be super influenced. But it could be that it's actually the Three-Eyed Crow, like through Jojen, saying, oh, no, you don't want to go the full, you don't want to go too into your wolf. That's not the way you want to go. Whereas we know keeping your wolves close is the way.
Good thing,
is the power that you want to have. So I think it's likely that Bran will actually struggle and have some sort of internal battle with the Three-Eyed Crow. Because if he gives too far into it, then maybe that's what happens. Then you could go into like this super cute like timeline thing.
And
there's all this stuff. I mean, but we already know that a lot of that stuff has probably happened anyway, because we already know that we are inside a timeline in which Bran has been influencing through the past.
Yeah, there's definitely hints that Bran's been influencing things. Even
just, I mean, Hodor, if simply nothing else but Hodor happens, then
it's huge.
And the Ned Stark, like we saw on the show, just turning around because he thought Bran was there. I mean, that one butterfly effect moment is still Bran influencing the past in some regard.
Ghost of Winterfell that's speaking to Theon and guiding him. who I think is going to play a pretty big role in the coming books if we get them. But, you know, the other thing is just like George is a really big fan of Dune. He talked about Dune a lot. And Paul Atreides is kind of the chosen one, but has, you know, terrible repercussions from having these powers. And I think Bran is very much like the Paul Atreides of Ice and Fire. So you have to wonder, is maybe just the Three-Eyed Crow in general, or is it more of a kind of a parallel to power and how power corrupts? And Bran becoming king is something that George did tell D&D. It's one of the few points he actually gave them. And I think a lot of the story is going to be wrapped up in Bran and what he means to like this entire world and timeline, in fact. So
it might be
so many places you can go with it.
Right. Because what's to say that the three-eyed crow isn't potentially like the alternative to the three heads of the dragon. Right. Like it will be this, like he is trying to use multiple aspects, and one of them might be Bran, and one of them for a time was Bloodraven, but he's clearly kind of phasing Bloodraven out. He's clearly like phasing Jojen out of over his influence. Cold Hands could be another one that he's phasing out of his influence, and it could now be Euron is the one he's looking at. We don't know necessarily if there's going to be another one, but it might be like a three, you know, like aspects of this versus aspects of, say, R'hllor and the dragons.
So if you have Bran and Euron, which the whole idea is that Euron kind of like wasn't useful, like the three-eyed raven kind of like went away from him or whatever. But like, let's just say like Bran, Euron, could the third be Theon? Because Theon's getting whispered to?
I think Theon's just getting whispered to because he's special.
Well, a lot of people think.
Yeah. I don't know that it's specifically anything like that. And Theon is still, Scott, he's such a huge wild card to me because, I mean, his route could go like the same as it does in the show.
Yeah, which I could see
is
that.
By far the best character arc.
Yes.
Of Dan and Dave. No question that Theon is.
And Jorah.
Jorah's goes pretty much as I expect it to.
Yeah, but Theon's was truly.
Theon's like, is the best. No question.
He bawled like a baby, dude.
Yeah, I mean, like, his end is so sick.
And there's people who'd be like, all that just for Bran to, you know, do nothing, but like, whatever. Like, regardless of that, the Theon contained arc, in my opinion, is great.
Right.
So I think in the books, it'll be very similar.
Yeah, I do. I do too. So, yeah. Anyway, that's just some of the theorizing I've been doing lately. And I've been posting all these YouTube shorts and everything. And yeah, dude, it's crazy, man. Like, when you really, because I think sometimes we just theorize about stuff. We're like, yeah, you know, but like when you really try to have to, like I really try, I've been trying lately to make the puzzle pieces fit and make the puzzle pieces like work. And you have to look at how all of this stuff could fit in two books, which it seems like the most unlikely thing, which is like, because that's where George's head is, right? He's got to flesh out these character arcs. He's got to do these things and he's got to make all of these pieces connect and there's only so much time to do it. Now he doesn't necessarily have to go into full detail and be like which is like Shay and like Craster. Even we may never get anything else about Craster except maybe a hint here or there, but that's where you can like kind of draw the pieces yourself and see
what this is his mastery at work, in my opinion.
I do think we actually will get some more of Craster just because of his baby. It's his and Gilly's baby, and that baby in the show ended up being completely useless. Everybody thought for a long time that's what the Night King was going to be after.
I remember that
was like all preseason 8 runs, like, no, the Night King wants that baby because that baby could be special. I mean, people talk about time jumps and all of these things, and maybe George was planning on something to do with that baby, but in the books the babies are switched, and it's, and you know, they have Mance's baby and Craster's baby is actually still up at Winterfell.
Yeah, dude, I, you know, there's a sick part of me is like, what if that's like Bran reborn again? What if like it's that crazy? But I think that's like part of George's mastery, though, is the fact that these answers like aren't going to be spelled out, like no matter what it is. I don't think it'll be spelled out on the nose very often. I think a lot of it's going to be trusting the reader to piece things together and speculate. Right. Like it's much better for him to give us some interpretations. Like partial answers, and then let us do what we're doing right now. This is why the series is going to live on forever, regardless of a finish or not.
100%, just because everyone wants to know what, you know, what will happen and and everything. And I actually, I feel actually way more confident now that it's that, that we're going to get enough, even if it's just through, even if he never finishes wins in A Dream of Spring. The fact is that we know as long as he's living, he is going to be fleshing out more of the early stuff, all the pre actual series stuff. And I mean, just like, look at how big of a change it has caused the entire fandom over the dagger.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Just
that
one thing is so monumental. Like, because it changes everything. And it's like, wait, you're telling me that Targaryens actually were passing down the history of A Song of Ice and Fire. Like, that is actually the true story. And it makes Aegon way cooler. And when we get the Aegon's Conquest show, that's what he's going to be looking at. And that's what he's going to be like theorizing about in some of his last days. Is like, oh my, no, actually the true battle is going to be the North.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's dude. Just,
it's insane. It's so sick.
It is sick, honestly.
We never get tired of it, ever.
No, I mean, that Night's King thing with the parallel to Craster just blew my mind.
Right.
Like, it's a direct parallel.
Yeah, because it's still just like so interesting. And even going back and looking at like the pieces that we have of this information. So it's one of the reasons I am really looking forward to House of the Dragon season 3 to see what they do with Daemon and Alice Rivers, who is such a big, important character. Because we don't know what happens to her. Because she's in Fire and Blood, and where she leaves is wide open. And I think they might explore some of that a bit more. And is she an agent of the Three-Eyed Crow? Like, she could be leading Daemon. She's clearly giving him, you know, fever dreams and perhaps feeding him weirwood paste. She's making these like concoctions and potions that he's drinking, and he's sleeping in a weirwood bed, and he saw visions of Daenerys and Bloodraven. I mean, so we saw a green man. It's awesome.
Yeah, I know a lot of people were upset with Daemon's arc, but like the things that have
it was a little long.
It was a long. It's fine. Yeah, we can. There's problems with the show for sure, but like on the whole, the things that we get to speculate about, especially just in show canon only. So fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And now House of the Dragon unfortunately takes a step back a little bit, because like we know George was somewhat more involved in the first, like, you know, two seasons. Oh, yeah. And now we know he's not involved in seasons 3
or 4. It's not going to be fun covering this show in season 3. It's going to be painful.
Right. Whereas Duncan Egg, the fact that he is more involved, and it's where I go back to those Game of Thrones episodes that he directed. And you have to look at that information. So
yeah, definitely.
So, all right, guys. Well, hey, with that, as always, we had some news we had to cover today. So next time we will be in chapter 61, Sons of the Storm of Swords, chapter 60, Tyrion 8, which is the Purple Wedding.
Purple Wedding is upon us. And if you like our podcast, don't forget to subscribe, like us, write a review, leave a comment, or send us a raven at btkcast@gmail.com or bendtheneepodcast.com.
We'll see you next time. And remember that winter is coming.
Looking to get the most out of your money, time, and even better, your points and miles? I'm Chris Hutchins. I'm a lifelong optimizer, and I've sold 2 companies, racked up millions of points, and traveled the world to over 60 countries almost always for free. And I host All the Hacks, an award-winning podcast trusted by more than 1 million listeners that turns big ideas into quick tactical moves you can start using today to upgrade your life, money, and travel. Recent episodes have covered how to book business class seats for economy prices, how to make an easy $3,000 a month from online deals, and tiny habits that you can use to buy back hours of your time each week. There's no fluff in the show. It's just proven playbooks to travel better, spend smarter, and design a life you're excited about. So search All the Hacks, that's All the Hacks, in your podcast app, hit follow, and start upgrading your life today.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good.
Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.